Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station. Get more at 971talk.com.
All right, welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Stargate is a thing, right? So just so you know, it's like Skynet. We learned this from the president yesterday, so we're glad you're with us. Everything is going to be controlled by AI from this point forward. Don't say they didn't warn you, for sure, with a movie many years ago. I don't know. I worry about that. I really do. I worry about where this AI stuff is going to go if we don't have some guidelines on it, right? And we'll see where that goes. The president announced that big plan yesterday. We'll talk more about that with Charles Payne coming up at about 8:35 this morning. Hope you can stick around for that. We've also got Genevieve Wood straight ahead. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show in here alongside Kim and Carl and Sue and Ethan. So we're happy you're with us this morning. If you've tuned in on the socials, thank you for that. We're interacting with people there throughout the show. So you got some comments or something, we put them on there. We'll talk about them here on the air this morning as well. Plus, you can always download the podcast. If you've missed anything, be sure and go back and grab that. And you can do it easily on 971talk.com. If that's not easy, you can go to the app, the Odyssey app. If you've got that, we have all of our podcasts on there as well. Excited to get Charles Payne back on here again, though, because I watched him last night. He was on with Jesse Waters. The suit the man had on was fabulous. I'm not a real fashion plate. You may not have picked up on that if you don't watch the show here on the socials. But Charles Payne looked like $1 million. He had this suit on with these big wide stripes on. It was fantastic. I'm going to have to mention that to him and brag on it when I get him on the air here at about 8:35 this morning. Be sure and stay tuned for that. So lots of stuff to get to. Genevieve Wood coming up, I mentioned, from Heritage. And they've got some really good stuff there on the Daily Signal today, talking about a few of the decisions presidents obviously worked on here in his first 48 hours. And maybe they got something to. Maybe she got something to say about that nasty bishop that he had to listen to yesterday as he was being lectured.
The face that J.D. Vance. I mean, they're all kind. His whole family's kind of looking around. Trump's just sternly looking forward, but J.D. Vance is turning to Usha, kind of like, "Are you listening to this?
Yeah,
this is ridiculous. Do you hear this?"
Well,
it didn't even faze her.
Even the president's comments about it when he walked out of the service was pretty classic, too, when he was kind of making fun of it. Yeah, I didn't think it was very good. Did you? What did you think, he said to the reporter that asked him about it. All that coming up for you here in just a couple of minutes. First, though, Carl, we need to get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
We saw them kick down the doors of people and raid homes and drag grandmothers out into the street. It was not no longer pages of history. We knew what was at stake.
Yeah, that's Jake Lang after being released from prison, where he was held for 4.5 years without a trial related to the January 6th events. And a tragedy is what it is, what's happened here. Some of that's being reversed with these pardons, and some of the people affected by it are finally able to speak out.
Together, these world-leading technology giants are announcing the formation of Stargate. So put that name down in your books, because I think you're going to hear a lot about it.
Yeah, I bet you are, Mr. President. $500 billion, with a B, investment in the United States is what they're promising to set up an infrastructure for artificial intelligence moving forward.
I support President Trump's commitment to bringing this war to a resolution, to stop the killing. And he campaigned on that issue, and he feels very deeply, and I support that.
Yeah, Elise Stefanik yesterday talking a little bit about the president's approach to wars in general, the war in Ukraine specifically there she's talking about. And we'll get to more of her comments. Hopefully we're going to get a vote on her nomination to the UN very shortly.
Well, yeah, they did come to an agreement with the police, and the union came to an agreement for a raise. And they're going to cut vacancies to pay for it.
There you have it. Jane Duker there talking to our Mark Reardon yesterday afternoon about this. The mayor announcing police raises and cuts to officer counts. I want to bring this up again because I thought this was a pretty interesting news conference yesterday. And I think to Kim's point earlier, if you missed it, we were talking about this. Kim, you pointed out that the timing here is not coinkydink, is it?
What a great word, by the way. Coinkydink?
Yeah, it's not.
No, I don't think so. I think it's because Missouri lawmakers will be talking about the St. Louis Police Department going under state control, which a lot of people have talked about wanting and it being necessary. So I think, you know, the timing of the report coming out the other week saying, oh, you know, homicides are at like a 2-decade low, and then you have this. She's able to say, you know, not only did we give our officers a raise, but we have fewer vacancies, because the big number we keep hearing is, oh, you know, 400 plus officers short, or whatever that figure is at this point. So now a lot, I think they're hoping that a lot of people will forget about that and they'll just see the new number, which might, you said, I think was cut in half. So now they'll only say they're like 200 officers short.
Well, it'll be a little more than that, but they eliminated 124 positions.
Wow.
of positions that aren't currently filled. So in other words, they had openings, and in the budget they could have funded 124 more jobs. Instead of doing that, they just erased them with an eraser to make it look like the number is a lot, not as bad as it is in terms of them being down staff-wise, and they're going to use that money to pay for raises.
Now, I know some of the departments in the St. Louis area have been using AI to, for example, write police reports. The officer, the lieutenant still has to, like St. Charles County, they're doing some of this. I don't know if it's that department, but some departments in that area have done this where AI generates the police report, and then I think it's the lieutenant still has to look over it. So it's not that there's no eyeballs on it, but they're not the ones actually generating it, because they say paperwork is what really takes up a lot of their time.
Here.
So I wonder if, like, is it secretaries too in this whole thing about slashing jobs, or are these all officer and, you know, lieutenant? Like, are they high ranking?
I would have to ask that question, but I believe of the 400 vacancies they had opened, that did not include administrative staff. Those were officers, street level officers that they could have had on the street that are positions they can't fill because either they don't pay enough or for a variety of reasons through attrition, people retire each year, it adds to that number. Here are the numbers. The new proposal will bump starting salaries in the city to $56,920 a year from $53,196 a year. So a $3,500 bump for new recruits coming in.
It's not that much.
The county pays $62,000 for starting recruits. So there's still $8,000 $6,000 below what the county pays for those same positions. I want to read something to you that I received from a friend of mine who is a police officer in the city who shall remain nameless. But I know a bunch of them feel this way. So this is sort of a consolidation of text messages that I received over this. The city forced this raise upon the officers. It's insulting. It was a take-it-or-leave-it scenario. If they're forced to take a pittance of money versus nothing at all, of course the union's going to vote to accept the deal. There is still a $30,000 gap between the officers in the county and officers in the city for people who are advanced in their career. So in terms of the gap gets wider as they rise in rank with their county officers. It's absolutely an atrocity, according to my friend, what they've done here. The raise that some of them are going to get will be the equivalent of maybe two lunches per paycheck.
Yeah, well, that's it. $3,000 is not much.
No.
Hunter on YouTube, who's watching that way, says, Mark, did I read correctly that they aren't using a single cent of the Rams money
None.
For public safety? And
None.
Yeah, that's what's pathetic.
They're not using a dime of the Rams money that I saw in the proposal I saw here that they proposed. But they're giving $40 million to North St. Louis. North St. Louis is plagued with crime. Why would you not dedicate some of that to law enforcement purposes? because you've got people who continue making the same mistakes over and over and over again, as Donald Trump pointed out just the other day. All right, I got to get to a quick break here. I got Genevieve Wood, senior advisor at Heritage, coming up right after the break. We'll talk a little bit more about some of what the president's been able to accomplish in a very short period of time. We'll be right back.
This week, I will also end the government policy of trying to socially engineer race and gender into every aspect of public and private life. We will forge a society that is colorblind and merit-based. As of today, it will henceforth be the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female.
The stars at night are big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas.
Genevieve Wood joining us from Heritage. Genevieve, it's like Christmas and my birthday all rolled into one. I just don't know how to be any happier.
You know what I was thinking, though, Mark, as I was listening? I was so happy to hear it, as I'm sure all your listeners are, too. But at the same time, you're thinking, wow, do we really have to have a president of the United States state in an inaugural address that there are only two sexes, male and female? Like, the fact that he even had to say it just makes you realize how completely ridiculous the world has become in the past 4 years have been.
Boy, it's true. How far it's shifted that you have to do that. And the stone faces on the stage behind him, you know, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and the Clintons and, you know, Hillary Clinton rolling her eyes. And it's just they can't believe you would stand up and trust the science, right?
And just say what everybody can see. I mean, it's just right. As science, evidence, we've all got eyes. If you got eyes, you can see it. I mean, and again, it's like when people, and I just think of the church service yesterday and being, you know, him and J.D. Vance being lectured to by the bishop about transgenderism and all this. And I'm like, wow, you guys still don't get it. This is why Donald Trump is sitting in front of you.
Yes.
It's because you have pushed this kind of nonsense, whether it's through the government, through these liberal churches. You've just pushed it down people's throats, and they're sick of it, and yet they carry on.
I want people to hear just a tad bit of that if they missed it yesterday. Listen.
I ask you to have mercy upon the people in our country who are scared now. There are gay, lesbian, and transgender children in Democratic, Republican, and independent families. Some who fear for their lives.
So what am I missing there with the gay and lesbian? He specifically mentioned the transgender issue. Why would gay and lesbian children also be fearing for their lives? I don't know what their point is here.
Well, he thinks they're going to go be put in like concentration camps, right? Isn't that the narrative I've heard on social media?
I don't know.
Well, that's their narrative. But, yeah. I mean, but to your point, it's like there's been no talk about any of this.
Right.
All he said is like there's two sexes. Now, he didn't say like if you want to go have a gender transition surgery and you're of it, you can do it. But oh, by the way, the federal government's not going to pay for that. He did say that we're not going to be doing that. We're not going to be putting men who want to be women in women's prisons or allowing them to go into women's bathrooms. He did say that. But he said nothing about an 8 or a 9-year-old who maybe thinks they're gay and that we're going to do anything about that. I mean, they take it. They want to try to scare people. They want to say that they're going to do things they're not. And it's all to cover up their true radical ideology. I mean, that's the reality. They're the ones with the radical agenda, and yet they try to turn it. And again, they've been trying to implement that in our schools. Parents have had enough of it. They're like, I mean, parents are the ones who've been scared. They're scared they send their kids to school and they're being taught crazy stuff that they don't want them being taught.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the reality. Who's scared? How about the churches that have been prosecuted by this particular administration, the Biden administration, because of their religious beliefs and sending the DOJ and out to investigate them? I mean, those are the people who have been scared. And so it's just they're living in an upside down world. And again, it's why they got thrown out of office.
You know, I'm curious how this whole thing plays out with these federal employees who are in DEI roles, who are now on paid leave, and they're saying you have to close all the offices, the program, remove all the websites, social media accounts. I don't know how, I don't know if we have an idea of how many people are impacted here, but certainly it has to be a lot considering Biden really ramped that up during his term.
Oh, there definitely have to be thousands.
Yes.
And the reality is that's what a lot of governments have been doing lately. Other people haven't even come to work that work for the government, but the DEI folks have been on task. So no, I mean that again, that day's over and good. Again, what he said about we want to be a colorblind society. We want people to be promoted on merit, and that includes in the federal government. And so we don't need offices that actually go out trying to discriminate against people because maybe you're a white guy and we don't want any more white guys working in the department or whatever. So we got to get rid of you. That's not the way it should work. It's who's best for the job. I'm about to board a flight. I don't care what color, how anything, what sex, whatever they are in the cockpit, I just want to know that they're the best pilots out there.
Thank you.
That's all I care about.
I want to know that the person that got selected for pilot training didn't get selected for any reason other than the fact that they're the best damn pilot in the world. That's what
exactly
I want.
Exactly right.
I saw Kamala was, they were bragging, there was a picture of her when she was leaving, and it said like it was the first all-female flight or something like that.
Crew?
Did you see that picture? Yeah, like
that.
That's what matters to the left. You know what I mean?
Oh, it totally is. And it's why it is, frankly. I mean, and there's a lot of great female pilots.
Sure,
that's
there
wonderful.
Are.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not the point. The point is, like, we just want the best pilots. I think that's what everybody, when they want the best teachers, the best pilots, the best bus drivers, the best doctors, the best people, you know, working and serving in our military. It has nothing to do with color or sex or anything. I'm not saying we never had those issues before. Of course we did. But America, the vast, vast majority of Americans do not care at all about race. Yeah. They just want the best people. They want to get a fair shot at a job. And they don't like the government saying we're going to pick and choose based on color and size and what sex you think you're maybe think you are, that you're going to get a job. That's just not the way it should work.
Yeah.
And people are fed up with it.
I think they are. Genevieve Wood, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
We'll talk next week.
America, this is Al Gore. Three things are certain. Hanging chads suck. I'm getting rich off this climate scam. And you are listening to The Mark Cox Show.
Back. Glad you're with us this morning on The Mark Cox Show. And what we've noticed here, a little trend, is that more and more of you are joining us on the socials, and we appreciate that. On of course, YouTube, and of course, we're interacting with you all morning long on all of our friends that are there on the Facebook page. We appreciate you, and we really do. So Carl and Ethan, we also have by the way, Tricia Everding has joined us in the studio here.
Good
Tricia,
morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing fine. How is baby Bernie doing this morning?
He was actually great.
Was he really?
Woke up super happy.
Good.
Yeah, we're in one of those like parent catches where he wakes up at about 4:30 and we bring him in bed with us. I know we shouldn't, but now he knows that.
Ooh,
so if he's like talking at 4:30, he'll get in bed with us and like snuggle in real good till about 6.
As long as he's not 18 and you're still doing that.
Well, my thing has been, we let the dog sleep with us every night. So
he's like, excuse me, if the dog is to sleep with you guys, I get to sleep with you too.
That's how I feel. I'll sleep with him till he's 18. I'm like, come on, get in here.
Well, I have to say Scooter on Facebook, who's watching there, says, good morning, Miss Tricia. This improved my day considerably.
Aww.
Good morning, Scooter. Nice. Thank you so much.
Well, we appreciate that. We appreciate the Bernie update. One of the kid is adorable.
Thanks.
Love seeing pictures.
We think
of
so.
Him, for sure. So the conversation came up is that you know, all the people that are watching us on the social media, I don't know. Do they need a name, Carl? You and Ethan were discussing this the other day.
Yes.
Because, out of my presence.
Yeah. In the afternoon, Annie has her fans on YouTube, and they're called Fannies.
Yeah.
Fans of
that.
Annie Fry.
Right.
So Ethan and I were talking yesterday. Maybe we should have, since we're on YouTube again, thanks for not mentioning things that get us kicked off anymore.
Yeah, don't worry. Ivermectin.
And so since we're having a stronger presence on YouTube, maybe we should have a group of fans of The Mark Cox Show.
Okay, but they need a name. Is this what you've come up with?
So Ethan, program that into ChatGPT.
Skynet.
Do people get Stargate. To vote? Are we putting these up for a vote?
Oh. I'm already nervous about where this is going.
Well, I haven't seen the list, and I'm a little worried.
Now, Trisha, why would you be nervous? Is it something to do with Mark's name?
I think so.
Why are you so nervous?
So I have. When we moved Mark to mornings, it's always been the Mark Cox show. And then when we moved into mornings, before we landed on the Mark Cox morning show, we threw around a bunch of different iterations of how to use his name in the form of a show. And I feel like ChatGPT may speak to that here.
We didn't tell Trisha what she was going to be talking about.
We did not. We didn't warn her at all.
No, but I was in plenty of meetings back in the day.
Yeah, exactly.
It might be in another one after
We're hoping these are appropriate.
No. ChatGPT started off very...
Yeah,
Ethan.
Mild,
diplomatic.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I hope because I might have heard all these at some point in my lifetime. But go ahead.
Yeah, I just went in and said, you know, you can read it. I printed it exactly out what I put in there. I said, give fun names to call our morning chat group. So it started off innocently enough: the morning roast, rise and chatter, Java jive, crew, breakfast banter, and then I put those suck. Try again. They kind of did.
So rude.
And how did Skynet feel about
that?
Yeah, thank you.
The machine actually said, got it, let's turn up the fun. So then they went with Morning Mayhem and First Sip Syndicate, The Wake Up Wire, Banter Bros or Crew, and then Zero Filter Zone. Okay. And then I said, mix in the word Cox.
There we go.
Because, you know,
C-O-X,
it's Mark,
though.
Yeah, I didn't.
Mark.
Mark's
Cox.
Last name.
Yes.
If we got Fannies.
Strong name.
You know?
Nothing
fans
to be ashamed
of.
This might be a sensitive topic for Mark because he was bullied about this as a kid. Mark, you're in a safe space right now.
I have a little PTSD.
You,
that's
Mark.
Okay. In high school, I had to break a kid's nose, I
you're
think, over this.
You're in a safe space right
that's
now,
all right.
Mr.
That's
We're
all right.
here for
yes,
you.
It's okay.
So,
go ahead.
So ChatGPT came back with, it went downhill pretty quick.
Bet it did.
It said, here is a fresh batch incorporating Cox. So Cox and Coffee Crew. The Morning Cox Squad, Cox O'Clock, Cox Crackers, Rising Cox,
I like that
The Daily Cox Fix, Cox Talk Central, AM Cox Chaos, Chilling with Cox, and Wakey Wakey with Cox. Which I think we should go with that way.
It didn't include Cox for Breakfast, which
yeah,
is
no,
what
I know. No,
our
yeah,
list. Well, Nancy yeah, Mace might yeah. vote for that one.
Oh!
But
oh, my goodness. Yeah, she may come after you for that. She'll take you outside.
Well, as long as you don't say it at a prayer breakfast, you know?
I like Rising Cox.
Wakey, oh, wakey, wakey.
You knew it was going to go downhill.
How about people on YouTube, Facebook, yeah. wherever you're watching right now, why don't you vote? I should put up a list of these.
Now they're going to send in suggestions. It would have to be appropriate.
It's got
to
be, it's gotta be on at least 10.
Right.
Is this like a hashtag we're starting?
But we, you know, people
no,
feel
no, not
a
necessarily.
Part of a group. Let's get a group going.
Yeah.
So what do you vote, Mark? It's your show.
I'm not sure I like any of those. I'm going to have to keep going. I got to be honest with you.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
But we need our fannies.
The Mark Cox Morning Show. Tend to work
MCMS.
Well. Yeah. The MCMS works.
No.
You do really need a nickname for it.
Boring.
I don't
NCMS
know.
For the group of people who watch. No.
Is anybody on the chat providing any
wakey wakey
wakey?
Yeah, I'm sure for sure.
Like wakey wakey. Yeah, this is a tough one because Coxies doesn't work quite as well as Fannies.
No, it does not.
The Coxsters?
But we got the Coxsters.
I've never really felt the need to have a name like that, so that's the whole
thing. But it's not for you,
it.
Mark. It's for the fans.
Oh, I see.
Did they
right.
want to be associated, though, with that name?
Well, yeah. Why wouldn't they? They love the show.
Get shirts. It'll be a whole thing.
Yeah.
Call
oh,
guys at Whiskey Dickerson.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Maybe no images on the shirt. Maybe just the text.
Richie, if he's paying attention, might have one of those printed
gosh.
By the end of the day. We
do I'm Cox and Coffee.
I'm not saying what someone just said. Why don't you read it, Carl?
Morning Wood. That's Genevieve. She was just on. You can
that was
hear
nice.
It if you
she
hit
is
rewind.
A contributor. Yeah. Yeah. Big fan of the show. Great interview.
My dad says Cox rocks.
Cox rocks.
There you go.
A little alliteration.
There you go.
No, nothing.
Do you mean
you know what? We should just shut this whole thing down.
No, I just said no. We can do. You go ahead. I'm sure we'll get something that might stick here at some point.
Just saving our license.
Keep
right
throwing things against the wall and see what happens.
Throw caution to the wind.
Exactly.
Put it all out
there from management.
Well, we figured it would be safer if we had Trisha in the room with us when we talked about all this, and then
she walked
then
in. Hey, how's everybody doing?
I'm banking on Steve being in the shower or something right now, just not listening.
Yeah, thank you, Mama K. I like that one too.
I see on Facebook, Lisa Mama K says Mark Cox rocks. Mark Cox rocks. That's hard to say.
Yeah,
Joe Martin. Fans of Mark Cox would be foxes, coxes, foxes.
Huh. Interesting.
Foxy Coxes.
Again, they're trying to trip you
Foxy
up here on the
Coxy
alliteration, so you got to be careful.
Cox and Company. That's a good one, Diana.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Who used that recently?
Oh, Jackie says all of these suck.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jackie.
Thank you, Jackie. Yeah.
Well, then we leave it up to the fans. You guys come up with a name that you want to be called.
Yeah.
We'll come back to it.
The show.
We'll get
Cox.
There.
Yeah, it's just not going
to. Because it's got to really speak to, because we're not trying to rename the show. The Mark Cox Morning Show is excellent. It's a strong name, just like Mark Cox is. So it's really got to speak to the fans and the passion of the fans.
Ooh, no.
If
Carl said ooh, we did.
The Incoxitating Truth.
Oh, God.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, but these are for you guys. These are not about us. This is about y'all.
Yeah, they're describing themselves.
Yeah. So there we go.
Coxinators. No. Okay. Well,
I'm still waiting.
Again,
I'm still waiting for the good ones to get. No. I'm just
Mark's
waiting for the.
Mob?
I'm reading here, and I'm waiting for the
redheads
to come in.
Oh, that's Sammy Hagar.
Oh, yeah, that's
don't
true.
Bring Sammy
that
Hagar into this.
We'll tell you what the gang comes up with here. You'll be able to read it yourself if you're on the socials there.
Oh, my gosh.
You can't read that one.
Of them you can't. Some of them you can read and some of them you can't.
Where
so you
at on
just
the socials? 97.1 FM Talk on YouTube? The Mark Cox Morning Show or the Mark Cox Show on Facebook?
It's, yes.
Okay.
Those.
I just want to know where I need to go.
Cox Crusaders.
Cast my vote.
Mark Cox and the Wakey Wakeys.
I'm really going back to the Wakey Wakeys.
The Morning Marxists. Team America?
When we took our...
Team America, that actually might be it.
That's
America,
a pretty good
something
one.
Patriotic.
Oh, there's a
thing.
There you go.
That was Scooter.
Team America.
Nice job, Scooter.
Yeah, there you go.
Team America is good.
Like Captain America. I like that. See, that maybe that's where you go.
Cock-a-doodle-doo show.
Now it's going downhill. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm getting us out of this.
Thank you, Carl. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. We're going to get to Kim on a Whim when we come back. Stay tuned.
Kim on a Whim.
Sir, the next item, as you announced in your speech, is a requirement that federal workers return to full-time in-person work immediately.
One of the first things Trump did after he was sworn in was sign that executive order requiring federal employees to return to work in person full time. Now, the question would be, does he have the power to do it? The answer is yes. The only thing that he's going to run into that's going to be a roadblock in this would be if there's a union, which about 26% of federal workers are part of a union. And that would mean that in many cases, they've already worked out an agreement where they can work hybrid or work remote. So they'd have to either renegotiate those or wait until the contracts are up and then figure out what to do next. If somebody's handicapped or has some other sort of special thing going on, that would be the other factor. But other than that, Trump absolutely has the authority to say you have to come back to work. This is interesting because, you know, from an employee standpoint, I can understand why it's nice to have that flexibility. I love the flexibility of this job. That's one of many reasons why it was so appealing to me. But man, if you got hired with the understanding that you were going to be in the office 5 days a week, and then because of COVID, for example, you started working from home, get your butt back to the office. It's a little bit different, in my opinion, if, say, you know, you were hired during COVID and you live in, you know, California and the company, the department, I should say, because these are federal workers, is based out of a completely different state. So you were hired on the premise of you don't have to be there. And now all of a sudden everything's changing. I have empathy for those people because they could be fired if they don't agree to relocate their family to a different state. That's tough.
Yeah, you know me. If I'm the boss, I want to be able to walk down the hall and knock on your door and say, show me the report, or I don't like what you did here. I don't like having to track somebody down at home and not know where they are. I know people are going to say that's going to sound ancient to people, but if you were hired, I agree with if you were hired under the pretense that you could work remotely, I think that adds a different aspect to it. But if you were originally hired to be in the office 5 days a week and COVID gave you the excuse to move away because you didn't have to do that anymore, I'm sorry, but the job is in the office. Yep. That's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah, I don't. So I have mixed feelings about this because I do think that there are some jobs that require a level of flexibility, this being one of them. So if I came to you guys and I said, I need you in the office from 3:30 every day to 11:30 every day, no matter what, regardless of any extracurriculars, anything outside of what we do here, you have to be in 40 hours a week, we'd have a problem. I mean, you guys have lives, you have kids, you have grandkids, and it would cause a little bit of a riff, right? Like, we'd be like, you'd be like, why? I can go on air. I can do my thing.
I can prep for the show from home.
My time is better served if you let me spend a little bit of time with my family or take a nap or whatever it is. So I don't think that there's a one size fits only thing. And a lot of these, I understand that a lot of these federal jobs are designed to be 9-to-5 positions, but some of them aren't. Some of them are shift work. Some of them are different things. And some people work better in those conditions. So I just know from a personal experience during COVID. So my mom was in the office 9-to-5 every day her entire career. During COVID, they let her work from home. Once they started reopening offices, they said, you have to come back or you're going to lose your job. And she said, well, I have to think about that. And they had, at that time, they had downsized so much that the office she had previously gone to was completely closed. So her commute was an hour and a half now.
Ooh.
They said, not only do you have to come back, you have to go to a different location that's an hour and a half away every day. She's like, I can't do that.
I wouldn't do that.
Like, we downsized to one car during COVID. My parents are older and getting close to that retirement age, and they basically pushed her out for it. And it was completely within their purview to say, hey, you have to do that. But what my mom did for this company had nothing to do with an office, had nothing to do with, it wasn't client facing, it wasn't customer service facing. And they changed the game a little bit. So mm-hmm. I think that all of these situations are a little bit unique, and yeah. a sweeping mandate that everybody has to do it, I think, is not taking into account some of those folks that their situations changed a little bit mm-hmm. over the past 5 years. So I don't know. I'm grateful that it's not something that we're dealing with in this industry, because I think that we specifically in our industry would have an issue with it.
From what I've heard from other people I know who work in the federal government, they say, you know, there's about 15 people who are doing the job of maybe what three people could do. So I think this is going to be very eye-opening, and maybe we'll reveal some areas where these departments can cut, which is obviously what DOGE is trying to do. So I think for that reason, it's good. But I think, yeah, that's a good point. That I mean, the hour and a half commute, I would absolutely not do that. I would say no. Yeah. And I think that's what we're going to see.
Look for another job at
that point. I think people will, in this case, probably resign and say, I'm not willing to come back to the office. I'm not willing to move my family.
There are going
to
be lawsuits. They're going to be fighting tooth and nail.
Yeah.
Civil service rules they have to go by. Remember, Biden tried to change some of those rules before he left office to make this very thing more difficult on efficiency. Like, he knew Trump was going to come in and try to cut jobs and eliminate things and make things more efficient, and that bureaucracy is something that the deep state is trying to protect. So they don't want that. They don't want that at all. So we'll see what happens, because the order is now in effect. It's back to work if you're a federal employee, it looks like. All right, coming up, we're going to get to our friend Jeff Manasso is going to call in because the Supreme Court is going to hear a case dealing with police use of force and when it's appropriate and what they should have to consider first in a life or death situation. It's the craziest thing you've ever heard. We're going to talk about it at 8:20.